Factories Podcast. This is the Factories Podcast, show number 17. My name is Gabriel. Welcome, especially if you are new to this podcast. In this edition of the show, the first of a series about New Mexico, we are going to talk about the Tour of the Nations, which was held from August 5 to August 10, 2007. I rode the tour myself, and I just can't wait to tell you about my experiences over there. This special presentation is brought to you in part by Adventure Cycling, the largest bicycle touring association in North America. Visit them at adventurecycling.org. Acoma Business Enterprises, DC International, and listeners like you. Thank you. What is the Tour of the Nations? Well, it is a recreational 259-mile bike ride across the beautiful New Mexico geography. But what makes this ride different and special is that we visit and stay as guests at four of New Mexico's Native American pueblos. We visit the pueblos of Isleta, Laguna, Acoma, and Suni, where they share with us their traditional food, music, and dances. We also visit national monuments such as El Morro, the Ice Caves, and the Bandera Volcanic Crater, and Acoma's Sky City, the oldest inhabited settlement in the United States, and many other beautiful places. I have to say that this has been one of the greatest experiences I have had, not just because of the places we visited, but also by the really great people we met along the way. So it was not just a touristic, but a deeply human experience. This is the first time this kind of adventure is organized. Normally, tribal lands are somewhat restricted, and a closer contact with the population was only possible during traditional celebrations, such as the September 2 and the Gallup Bow Wow the first week of August, just to mention some examples. This proved to be a personal experience, a more close experience, where you could sit and talk with the people in a relaxed atmosphere like longtime friends. Now that I have teased you, let's go with the details. This tour was organized by Adventure Gallup under the direction of Mr. Matt O'Mara. The participants got together at the city of Gallup, where their cars were securely parked. This is exactly the tour's final stop, so everyone would be able to pick up their car at the end of the event. Well thought. All the belongings, bicycles, and participants were then transported to Isleta Pueblo, specifically to Isleta Lake Recreational Facility. This is a really nice facility where people can go and camp, fish, and RV. The place has nice shower facilities and a convenience store. The facility is administered by the Isleta tribe. The tour had rest stops every 50 miles, 5 miles less than the webpage said, which is a welcome change. The rest stops were full of products needed by cyclists, such as different kinds of fruits, energy bars and gels, electrolyte drinks and water, ice for water backpacks, and even chips to get back some of the salt that was indeed lost in the ride. Alongside, two sets of portable restrooms were available at rest stops, as well as in the campground. They were cleaned every single day. As part of the support, bike techs from REI were ready to answer any service call for the bikes at no extra charge. I used their service a couple times and they were really great. The security was comprised of New Mexico State Police cars and motorcycles, brought Adventure Gallup pickup trucks that were going in both directions on the road, keeping an accurate count of the cyclists. One of the Laguna policemen even stopped his car long before I reached a point where there was a dog barking at the riders. By the time I reached the dog location, the policeman had talked the owner of the dog into taking him on their leash. I love dogs, but not when I'm cycling. Also, SAC vehicles were always checking on people. In all, you were never alone or by yourself. As soon as you stopped for any reason, within a minute or two, a vehicle appeared to check on you. The estate police officer was very professional and extremely friendly. Each participant received a booklet with the maps for the entire tour, with pages of about the elevation for the day's ride. It was a standard size, so it fitted in the handlebar bag map window. The tour had guides posted on every turn, so the use of a map was academic. The luggage was moved from one campground to the other by truck, so as soon as you arrived to the campground, you just grabbed your bags and set camp. The campgrounds were extensive, with a lot of places to choose for pitching your tent. There were showers on every campground, even at the ice cave site, where portable showers with propane water heaters were set up. The staff took care of everything, so you just go merrily and take your shower. The food was provided by each pueblo, both breakfast and dinner. It was different every day, so even in this respect, there was something new to find out. In addition to the dinner, a tour for each pueblo had been pre-arranged so participants could view each of the pueblo's different faces. Every night spent on a pueblo featured a traditional dance where the children and the youth from the pueblo danced to the rhythm of the traditional music and chants performed by tribal members. The traditional dresses reflected each of the pueblo's characters, tradition, and history, and no two were alike. Dances such as the eagle, buffalo, and butterfly, and many others took the participant back in time to the root of each pueblo. The feeling is hard to describe. Now that we have described the logistics of the tour, let's get on with a description of the route itself. The route is, in general, climbing, with the exception of the road from the ice cave to Zuni Pueblo, which is generally flat and downhill, with some minor climbs. One factor that added difficulty to this tour is that most of the route is on a headwind. So, include hill training in your regimen. I have to say that I did not train at all for this tour, besides an old knee problem that decided to show up in the middle of the tour. I have to say that the route is doable if you have the right bike. I was using a rental bike which had a slight fit problem, and I ended up with a problem with numb hands and knee problem, which gave me difficulty on day number 3 big climb, to the point I had to sag on the last part of the climb because of the knee. But had I been using my own bike, I'm sure everything would have been really fine. The way the route is laid out gives you 2 days to condition your body for day number 3 big climb. By day number 5, your body condition will be able to tackle the Zuni to gallop climbs. I did it, even with a bad knee. One factor that can affect performance is the time at which the ride started each day, which was close to 8 o'clock in the morning, which is considered late by touring on written standards. But there was a reason for this. The coordination with the police department for rider protection worked against an earlier time. The low New Mexico humidity makes most of the morning and noon ride nice. The problem with the heat starts around 2 p.m. when the furnace is lit and the asphalt starts to give the heat back to the riders. I observed that many riders started very early in the morning, the days after the first one, before the main group. The maps made this move possible and smart. Let's describe the route on a day-to-day basis. Day number 1. Isleta to Laguna. This is a 61.3 miles ride with a 972 feet elevation gain. Mostly uphill with a nice downhill just before the entrance to the Laguna Reservation. The grades are very steep in some sections, and combined with the zone, these hills are killer. Thank God for a rest stop at the top of one of these hills. Close to Laguna, there's a terrible dirt road which made some recumbent road bike riders get a sack just to clear the section. Suspension was a necessity in this section, so if you're riding a road bike, consider a suspension seat. I was using hardtail with handles differently to my fully suspended bike, so I had a little trouble with that section too, but I cleared it. After that section, there is a steep section just prior to arrive to the campground. Day number 2, Laguna to Acoma. 59.4 miles, headwind, 862 feet of climbing, followed by 553 feet of mostly downward ride with a rather steep climb at the final section. This is a very interesting ride with many beautiful sights. The riders stop at the Sky City Cultural Center for lunch and a tour through Sky City. Impressive! After Sky City, the ride is great if you love speed, getting a wrap or use your aero bars. Even on a heavy mountain bike I was using with panniers holding my cameras and audio recording equipment, I was able to keep up for a while in a draft. Lots of fun. Then the final climb to the Acoma Rodeo Campground. Day number 3. Acoma to the Ice Cave. 48 miles, but with 1693 feet of vertical climbing. Headwind. A really interesting ride. Lot of things to see, including the museum and the city of Grants. We even found two bike tourists who were riding from Canada to the border of Mexico in the opposite direction. I did a little interview that I will play in a future show. After a pleasant day, then comes the big climb. And when I say big, it is big. After that climb, the rider is greeted by the beautiful Ice Cave campground. Day number 4. Ice Cave to Zuni. 50.4 miles of mostly downhill ride, 1,566 vertical feet descent. Right at the start, there is a continental divide sign, so it is an obligated stop for the requisite snapshot. The rest stop at the Inscription Rock Trading Company and Cafe was a memorable one. Great coffee and craft. After that, there is El Morro National Monument. I observe at the entrance that there is a campground there, so if you are riding over there, consider that. After El Morro and all these marvels and beauties, there are plenty of places to have lunch, get batteries for your camera, etc. At one of the rest stops, there is a Stagecoach Cafe for a nice lunch. After that, it is a quiet road until the Zuni Pueblo. Day number 5. Zuni to Gallup, 40 miles. In the booklet, there is no elevation data, but I have to say it is mostly climbing and headwind. Only one rest stop at mile 15.7. Big hills after that, followed by an energizing downhill, another hill, and a final slight downhill into Gallup and the Rebohod school campus at the end of the trip. This was just a description of the route. In the next show, I will go into detail about the experience itself, and I'm going to play audio I recorded along the journey and a picture show that I have prepared for you. Don't go anywhere away from this site, as I will post the show with days difference. Take care, you all. And as they say in Isleta, how would, which means thank you.